sermon this week is titled, Keep Moving Forward. The scripture reading comes from Colossians 2, 6-10. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority.
Good morning, everyone. So we're getting closer to the end of the school year. And one of the thoughts that I had was, wouldn't it be great that at the end of the school year, whether you're a student or teacher, that everything would be ending well? That if there's some relationship difficulties happening, that maybe those could be mended so that you can finish the school year well. Last week, we talked about looking up, and that Barb and I had the privilege of spending some time wandering around some of the beautiful cathedrals in Nuremberg, Germany. And one of the things I noticed was that many people were looking up because that's where the glory is. This is where the frescoes are, and this is where this beautiful glory of God is. But I saw a lot of tears as well. And you'd like to know everyone's story. Are they crying because they're overwhelmed by the beauty? Are they crying because of loved ones who are no longer there? Are they crying because they need forgiveness? They need to offer forgiveness. They need to receive forgiveness. So early this morning, I think God just sort of put this on my heart. I just wrote a few things. I said the giving and receiving of forgiveness is a precious gift. It can set us free. The cost is significant, but it's so worthwhile. That's why there is a Good Friday. And that's why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. That sins all the way up until that point in time were just kind of left hanging, but no longer. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. A fresh slate, a new beginning in the world where relationships can be well. I want to talk about that today. A new beginning, seeing life through a different lens. And it's for all of us in the giving and receiving. So the number of scriptures that I'd like to share today, talking about this forgiveness that's so important. And as I say these things today or share some scriptures with you, I'd like you to go deep within. There are some sermons that are just kind of intellectual. There are some that are deeply spiritual. There are some that are emotional. Sometimes they're all jumbled up together. But I'd really like for each one of us, no matter who we are, to go deep within and ask a really serious question that only you can answer. Is there something that I need to do to make things right? Do I need to offer forgiveness without exception? Am I willing to receive forgiveness? One of the first teachings of Jesus was all about forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, basically in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners to be seen by people. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full." That's it. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts." He's not talking about money. "Forgive us our sins, as we have also forgiven those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. God has been pouring out his love, his goodness, his grace, and forgiveness into our lives even before we knew that he was doing it. And now that we know that he has done it, he asks us to share that gift. Share the precious gift of forgiveness. I like the way Luke records this. In Luke chapter 11, he very much abbreviates what Jesus said in Matthew. Here's what Luke says in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. He said to them, "When you pray, say this, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive,'" and this is an interesting word, "'forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Ooh, that word. I can forgive 98%. We have no problem, those of us who are a bit older, forgiving our children, forgiving our grandchildren. It's a treat. It's a gift, but it's a treat to forgive. It's just one more opportunity to hug them and to love them. But when he says everyone, forgive everyone. Forgive everyone. It's not on PowerPoint today, but the story of the prodigal son, to me, is one of the great stories in all of the Bible. It's where Jesus talks about forgiveness. But one thing unique about this story in the parable of the prodigal son is that the older brother's not so sure about offering forgiveness. The father is sure about offering forgiveness, but there's a word that's attached to forgiveness in Luke chapter 15 in the parable of the prodigal son that I missed for years. And that's this. The word attached to forgiveness is celebrate. I don't know how often we think of forgiveness and celebration at the same time, especially if someone has grieved us greatly. But part of all of this is remembering what God does for us. He forgives us our sins. And because we receive this precious gift, we want to offer this gift to everyone. So what does this have to do with looking up? What does this have to do with moving forward? Sometimes in life, the only way we can move forward is to the very best of our ability, be in one with everyone. People may not be at one with you, but be at one with them. Say, no matter what's going on, I want to offer myself to you as a servant in the best way that I can. I want to love God because God forgives us. He wants us to share that with one another. One of the great scriptures in all of the Bible is found in the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 18 through 19. He's a wordsmith here, and it's a beautiful illustration and description. You can maybe think about this in your mind. "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever," but listen to this, "but you delight to show forgiveness, mercy. You will again have compassion on us." It's a repeated thing. You'll continue to forgive us. You'll continue to have compassion on us. "And will tread our sins underfoot, package them all up, and hurl them into the sea." Gone. Gone. Because that's the nature of God. I want everyone here today to do whatever you can to make your school year end well. Go out on top. And even if someone has grievously said things about you or hurt you, forgive. As Christ has forgiven you over and over and over and over again, forgive. Don't worry about what happens afterward. Forgive. Make it right. Go out this year, school year, and finish well by offering forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. Probably one of the great stories in all of the Bible is the story of David, who had a heart of God and yet also had a heart of us. A man who did wonderful things, but a man who also did some pretty grievous things. Had people killed, a variety of other things, relationships that weren't right. But one of the things about David is that he kept coming back to God. He knew that he had done so poorly sometimes in life, sinned grievously. And he was able to offer forgiveness because he received forgiveness in a powerful way. In Psalm 51, it's a rather lengthy passage, and there's so much involved in this little passage. And I think about, as I read this, think about your own life. Think about where you've come from. Think about your home. Think about your family. Think about your relationships. Think about how you've come to school. Think about where you are right now in life, whether you're a young person, middle-aged, whether you're in high school, whether you're in public school, whether we're way, way, way past school and not sure where we are at in life. We're not even sure what's happening in the world around us. No matter who you are or where you are, David somehow incorporates all of us in this story of compassion and forgiveness. And that compassion and forgiveness comes from God and says to us, if you want me, God says, if you want me to cover it all, I'll do it in a heartbeat. There's only one thing I ask. There's only one thing I ask. There's only one thing I ask. That what I've given you, you give to others. Forgiveness across the board. Move forward in life well. And here's one of the ways. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Let's face it, we can't cleanse it ourselves. And we can sometimes trick ourselves into thinking like, well, God's forgiven me and I don't have to worry about it. But to go deep in understanding what that is, forgive others as God has forgiven us. Cleanse me of that. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you're proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth since the time of my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Have you ever felt that way? Has something ever happened in your life where you've so mistreated someone or someone has so mistreated you that you feel like your bones were crushed? But don't go on the defensive, go on the offensive. Have you ever said something that hurt another person so deeply and somehow could find justification for all that? God, you need to create a pure heart in me, he says in verse 10, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners you will turn back to God. You can share with other people the precious gift of what happens when you willingly forgive others. You're going to come across people in your life who are going to hold things against others. Share with them the ill effect of that. Share with them the joy of forgiving others. Finish your school year well with an authentic heart and authentic forgiveness. He finishes up by David saying, there's nothing I can do to earn this. You don't delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God, here they are. You're broken. You're broken. You know how you feel when you've hurt somebody. You're broken. You feel like you don't even deserve going to that person and asking for forgiveness. You're broken. There's nothing I can do. I'm broken. But God says that's the start. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And then a broken and contrite heart, meaning, God, thank you for forgiving me. May I share that same forgiveness with others. Go out well. Move forward. Keep growing in the Lord. Last week, we talked about the looking up ones. And in Colossians 2, it talks about our own relationship with God, that in baptism, we were buried with him and raised with him through our faith in the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. And then he says, since therefore you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on heavenly things, not on earthly things, for you've died. And your life is now hidden in Christ, who is in God. And when Christ, listen, and when Christ, who is your life? When Christ, who is your life, appears, you too will appear with him. When Christ, who often, every moment of the day, is thinking of us, cleansing us, forgiving us, if he is willing to forgive us always, can't we do the same? Christ, who is your life, who's pouring out his compassion and forgiveness on us, asks us, move forward, do the same, finish this school year well, and make forgiveness part of your life daily. The first one to offer it. The first one to come alongside someone and say, I know the pain of all of this. And let me just conclude by sharing this passage in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 13, when Paul says this. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He forgave us most of our sins. He forgave us most of our sins except for the really bad ones. No. He forgave us all our sins. Think of this. Judas betrays Jesus. And Judas is sort of in the background. He receives some money. And he knows what's going to happen to Jesus. It could have been a different story. He could have betrayed Jesus. And then he could have gone to that cross on his knees in tears. Jesus, please forgive me. What did we just read at the beginning of this? He forgives us all our sins. All our sins. Can you imagine Judas being the preacher? Wouldn't he have a story? But there is someone who was a preacher who had a similar story. His name is Peter. He refused to believe that Jesus would go to the cross. He refused to believe it. and he denied even knowing him. But Peter did something that Judas didn't do. Peter received the forgiveness of God. And you know, wherever Peter went, he offered it. No strings attached. He offered it. Because his life changed because of the gift of forgiveness. May each one of us finish this school year well by giving forgiveness, the precious gift of all, and receiving it. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.